He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Friday. It is Friday, September the 12th edition of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, a nationwide fee-based only money management firm. And we have another mixed open to the market. And the way it's been going lately, the pattern has been the Dow down and the NASDAQ up a little. And that looks like it's going to follow through again here today. The Dow is down 77 points, but it hit a new all-time high yesterday. And we're now above 46,000 for the first time in the Dow's history. We're at 46,030. The S&P is up 1 point right now, but it hit a new high. And it's hitting a new high today at 65.88. And the NASDAQ is hitting another new all-time high today with a gain of 44 points to 22,087. The 10-year was under 4% momentarily this morning, and now it's gone up 6 basis points since then, and it's currently at 4.07 right now. Percent on the 10 years. We get ready for the big Fed meeting next week. Gold is hitting a new all-time high today with a gain of 44 basis points, 36.89. And Bitcoin is up 1,115.397. So welcome to the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson. 25 years at the helm of Gunderson Capital Management. Well, actually, 19 years since we went public, I guess, in 2006. But I've been in the business now for 25 years, and I've been doing radio for 25 years. I've been managing money for 25 years now. Well, Barry, we saw across the board yesterday new highs. Dow Jones Industrial Average closed yesterday at 46,108. That's a new all-time high. The S&P 500 yesterday closed at 6,587. That's a new all-time high. The NASDAQ closed yesterday at 22,043, and it's adding on more to that today. That's a new all-time high. Gold was down a little bit yesterday, but it's back up again today. It is at or near an all-time high. And we have interest rates down at 4.07%. At one point this morning, it didn't last for very long, but it did take a little peekaboo moment below 4%. I think it got to 3.99% this morning. Now we're back up, we're at 4.07%. But anyways, it's pretty hard to argue with record closes on the indexes.
First time we closed above 22K, I believe, right, for the NASDAQ? I mean,
yes.
It's a pretty wild round number
high.
There.
Yes, yeah. And it's adding on more today, and that comes after the CPI hit 2.9% yesterday. And the initial jobless claims came in a little bit hot. And, of course, next week is the Fed meeting. The big question is, will Lisa Cook be there or not? Trump is trying to get her ousted for good. There has been, you know, a reprieve was given by a federal judge maybe a week ago. So she's still serving on that Fed board. It's a 7-person board. It does take a majority, 4-3, to do whatever they're going to do. It looks like it's going to be a 25 basis point cut. I can guarantee you Lisa Cook is not going to be voting for a 25 basis point cut. I wouldn't think, okay, unless she can, leave the politics outside the door and just look at the economy and where it's at right now and vote accordingly. But Trump was trying to get her removed for good from the Fed before that vote next week. Maybe he thinks he's got the votes.
I heard him talk about it this morning. Yeah, I heard. I think he's on Fox and Friends doing actually, he was talked about a number of different issues. Charlie Kirk, everything from Charlie Kirk to the Fed to
the Yankees
to the tariff Supreme Court case. I think he mentioned. I think he said we've got a criminal on the Fed. He's not dropping that one. So
no, the guy gets around. I mean, give him credit for the energy he has.
Wow.
When I go to a baseball game, I'm kind of tired the next day. You know, that goes way past my bedtime. And he was room of the Yankees. Aaron Judge, I think, hit two home runs last night. Did they win?
Passed DiMaggio. I don't know if they won or not, but I know he passed DiMaggio. I think he passed DiMaggio or tied him for, I think, most home runs maybe as a Yankee.
Yes.
So that's a pretty big name.
And then he's on, I turned on the TV this morning, and he's on Fox and Friends all dressed up like nothing ever happened. He's not tired at all, and he's talking about the apprehension. He was the one that said it, the apprehension of the suspect up there in Utah. So,
I mean, how much time do you think? I don't even know if he drinks coffee. I mean, how much time do you think
drink
he
alcohol.
Sleeps a day?
I know he's
probably
me.
Why he's got so much energy.
Yeah, I'm a teetotaler myself, and I, you know, I'm pretty proud of my energy, to be honest with you. I can run and not be weary and walk and not faint almost any day of the week, but his energy and Charlie Kirk's energy also kind of blew me away of these guys. I mean, you know, how do they do it? Okay, Bessent has interviewed three or four different candidates. It's pretty obvious that one of them was not the current Fed Chairman Jerome Powell. He has met with former Fed Governors Lawrence Lindsay and Kevin Warsh, as well as former St. Louis Fed President James Bullard.
Yeah, that was an interesting one. I didn't know that he was on the list, but yeah, no. I mean, I hear him nowadays in his after the Fed life. I always hear him a lot on, you know, some of the financial stations, and then obviously on some of in print out there. So.
Yeah, no, I don't remember. Bullard, was he a hawk or a dove? I really don't remember.
You know, what I kind of like about him, I think he was kind of hard to paint in one way or the other. Basically, he went by the data. Of course, now we got to wonder if the data is right or wrong. But, I think he just called it like he sees it.
Yeah, it sounds like the labor data has not been very good here. It makes you wonder about the inflation data also. I report stuff, whether it's good, bad, ugly. The federal budget deficit balloons more than expected in August. Now, I thought we were making progress there, and maybe August is historically bad. Well, look, I mean, on a monthly income statement, we collect our fees quarterly, every 3 months, so... You know, the 2 months in between usually, don't look as good as the month where you collect the fees, right? And that's the way the federal budget works. They collect all the monies in April. And, of course, nowadays with most people filing for extensions, probably October is a big month for collections.
Yep. And quarterly payments are usually September, December. Which isn't an August month, by the way, either.
Yes, but $345 billion we spent more than we took in August. Okay, which just really is a revenue thing, but still. We're on track. The federal deficit now for this year is $1.97 trillion compared with $1.90 over the same period last year. So as of now, there has been made... Now, I don't know if that counts the tariffs. I guess it does. But there has been no improvement other than it hasn't gotten worse. A little bit worse, $1.97 trillion versus $1.90 versus this same time last year. So anyways, the largest item on the government spending spree last month were the usual suspects. Social Security, $134 billion. So, I mean, you look at the deficit of $345 billion, $134 Social Security. Medicare's $141 and net interest on the national debt is $93. And you're not going to get rid of those three anytime soon. And those are the elephants in the room. Meanwhile, customs duties, I get it, that is. Tariff revenue was $30 billion in August, edging up from $27.8 billion in July. And we may have to pay that back if the Supreme Court rules against Trump. We'll be right back. City of New Orleans, I'll be gone. And welcome back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, you know, this comes under the heading of, is this provocative? Rheinmetall to build an ammunition plant in Ukraine. Well, we've seen Putin, you know, he's getting pretty threatening against Europe. Shooting some missiles into Poland or drones into Poland that had to be shot down, whether it was by accident or not. But I think that the German defense manufacturer Rheinmetall establishing a new facility in Ukraine. What happens if Russia blows that facility up, Barry?
I was about to say, what's the chances of that thing getting built? I mean, you're just getting blasted down. I mean, they just shot something on the complete opposite side of Ukraine, really, that they haven't really attacked before, so they can make it there. I mean, if you want to be, you know, the problem is, how are you going to protect it, I guess? I don't know.
Unless you're going to put Raytheon missiles, Patriot missiles all around it, it just seems, you know, why not just build them in Germany and ship them across the border? That just seems pretty, inevitable.
Aren't they already giving ammunition, to Ukraine, I would
yes,
imagine.
Yes, I mean, 5% of their budget. Yeah. Okay, Northrop Grumman. We'll keep an eye on Northrop Grumman, NOC. They deliver their second stealth bomber, and this has been a very lucrative area to invest in. The masters of war, the weapons companies, Northrop Grumman, NOC, which is headquartered in Falls Church, Virginia. That's where most of your defense companies are, not too far from the White House there. Plenty of... I'm sure there's a big weapons and defense lobby there trying to get these lucrative contracts. And here's a picture of this Northrop Grumman B-21. Wow, that thing looks pretty awesome. It looks like a UFO in a way.
It does.
It's at Edwards Air Force Base in California. I've been Edwards Air Force Base has a place. It has like a hamburger stand there at this where two big crossroads come together, and it's called Space Burger or something like that, you know, and it's out in the middle of nowhere. But anyways, there sits that B-21 Raider. We'll keep an eye on Northrop Grumman. China warns Mexico that they better think twice about a tariff hike. And, you know, yesterday we were talking about Mexico planning to put a 50% tariff on China on their cars and other goods. And China is warning Mexico, you better choose sides. That would be seen as an appeasement and a compromise, basically teaming up with the United States against us. So we'll have to see. Sheinbaum, in the meantime, the Mexican president, said the tariff hike was intended to boost the domestic economy and not appease the U.S. Sheinbaum does lean very hard left. That's all I know. And whether or not they go ahead, I mean, they're being pressured, obviously, by Trump. We're not, I don't see us ever letting those Chinese EV cars. Can you see NIOs running around your neighborhood or BYDs or?
I think I told you, I saw one in the Bahamas, and then I saw one, and it was an article about the, apparently there's, I guess, one person in the U.S. who has, I guess, gotten, who has been, you know, somehow gotten one in. I don't know, you know, I think they had to go through a bunch of permits, but I mean, to me, it's the technology behind it, right? I mean, I'm surprised that they allow Teslas in China, to tell you the truth. I mean, you've got, you know, anytime you're, you know, mapping the roads and you're doing this and doing that from a surveillance standpoint, it just, short of forget the cost in terms of them being able to produce them cheaper, it just seems, you know, I think the quote-unquote national security risk portion, right, makes it, you know, virtually impossible. So I would agree.
Yes. Okay, well, with the Dow going above 46,000 for the first time ever, and it was 3,000 or 4,000 when I got into the business 25 years ago, here's how the 30 blue chip names have done so far this year. And of course, the Dow has pretty has underperformed. Well, let's just put it up here on the Best Stocks Now app here, and let's put up DIA, which is the Dow. If you want to invest in the Dow, you can buy the DIA ETF. Let's just put it up against the NASDAQ. Over the last 10 years, you know, the Dow has delivered one half of the performance of the NASDAQ. Over the last decade, the Dow has averaged 13.2% per year. The NASDAQ has averaged 24% per year. Okay, now, Barry, I'll ask you, Mr. CFA, why is that? Why has the NASDAQ done 24% per year over the last 10 years? That's just appreciation in the index versus the Dow's 13. What is your opinion?
Yeah, I mean, well, it's got to be, you know, the makeup of the Dow, right? I mean, and you've kind of gotten on a number of different names that have been in the NASDAQ, or in the Dow over the years, Walgreens being one of them, Intel being one of them, right? And so just the makeup of you know, where the growth has been, what companies are included in the NASDAQ versus what's in the Dow, I mean, it's a...
growth.
It's just where the growth has been.
Exactly. It comes down to growth equals stock price appreciation. Growth in earnings equals stock price or leads to stock price appreciation. If you have higher growth and it shouldn't be because you're looking at 100 companies, which should dilute it more in the NASDAQ.
And multiple expansion, too, and within those names because of the growth.
You got to go back to 2014 as the last time the Dow outperformed the S&P 500. No, it didn't even do it that year. No. Let's see. No, I go back. Actually, it was 2017. The Dow was up 25%. The NASDAQ was up 19%. But the NASDAQ has outperformed the Dow 9 out of the last 10 years. And over time, of course, this year so far, the Dow is up 9.5. The NASDAQ is up 12. So here's how the individual stocks in the Dow. Here's the worst performers. United Healthcare. Of course, the NASDAQ's got some bad performers, too. United Healthcare is down 29.1%. Of course, very troubled company. Salesforce, kind of surprisingly, one of the tech stocks in the Dow is down 26.6. Merck is down 14.3. Apple is down 8.6. Honeywell is down 5.8, and Procter & Gamble is down 5.7. The best performers in the Dow, number one, Goldman Sachs, 37%. We own it. NVIDIA, up 32.7%. We own that one also. We'll be right back. And the boys upstairs just don't understand.
understand anymore. Well, the top brass don't like him talking so much, and he won't play what they say to play.
This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show.
Welcome back to the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson. I read an article today. Is it time to diversify overseas with your with your stock portfolio? I think I think it's kind of too late. It's very rare that Europe outperforms the U.S. markets. My own take on why that happened is a lot of money, as Trump came into office and was threatening with all the tariffs and the turmoil and the uncertainty that would cause, I think a lot of money went to Europe to park until the turmoil passed, even though Europe would be on the receiving end of those tariffs. And there's another reason, Barry. What is the 10-year in the U.S. right now? 4%? What is it in the ECB? 2%.
And they've been cutting for a while, and they're actually probably close to done cutting. The other thing is, too, a lot of that return differential has to do with currency, because during the whole tariff piece, right, yeah, dollars leave the U.S., go to Europe. That increased the value of the euro. So part of those returns when someone in the U.S. is buying an unhedged international mutual fund, for example, part of your return is not just equities, it's currency. So
yes,
that's a big part when you're looking at some of these, when you're trying to compare apples to apples, it's a little bit harder.
And money does flow around the world where there's the easiest money. The ECB has 2% rates. We have 4% rates now. And they're cutting. It's really the direction, too, the direction that they're going. Now, think about it. Eventually, we'll have two again. I don't know. But now we're in that cutting cycle. Europe's probably done. Why would you invest in Europe now? That makes no sense. Now, over the last 10 years, to put this in perspective, Europe's markets, 7.8% per year. That's what the VGK Vanguard Europe Index has done, 7.8. The S&P has done way better than 7.8. It's done over 20%, 23.8, almost triple what Europe has done historically over time. So it makes little sense to diversify. Let's just look at the emerging markets, which is another animal. The European markets are pretty mature, and they're growing very slowly. There's a lot of soggy stocks in the European markets. The emerging markets might have a little bit more life to them, but they've done about the same as Europe, 7.7% per year versus 23.8% for the S&P 500. So, yeah, you know what? Having said that, where I'm seeing value today, and you have to accept the political risk that it comes with, and I made the case yesterday, one of the best breakouts in the entire market yesterday was Alibaba. And, it's trading at one half of multiple, or maybe one third of the multiple that U.S. tech stocks are trading at. But along with it comes the political risk. So if you're searching for lower P.E. ratio and you're looking to diversify outside of the U.S., right now it's the PDD, JD.com, Alibaba. Tencent Holdings is breaking out to new all-time highs, TCEHY. but they obviously do come with that extra political risk. Not that we don't have political risk here. I mean, look what politics and political risk did to the markets in February and March of this year with the tariff scare. You know, we had a 20% sell-off. But I'm just saying, if you're looking for value and a place to diversify, those are big, proven technology companies that are trading at much, much, much lower multiples. NetEase is another one. It's basically about four or five powerhouse stocks in China.
Trump every is time, every time ahead. I see NetEase in my head,
I know
it reads
what is
net
a NetEase?
Lease. It reads net lease when
yes.
I look at it. I don't I'm just thinking of a triple net lease or some
yeah,
rents
it's
out
kind
there.
Kind of right? a Google. Google would be the biggest comparable here in the U.S.
Yeah.
Trump said to force Big Pharma to lower drug prices within weeks. They better get in line, or he's going to force them to lower drug prices. I have noticed some perkiness in Lilly recently with a couple of things going on for Lilly. The pill out there maybe looks like it's going to happen. What was the other one? There was something else.
They've had some. I mean, they've had some other wins. I mean, the thing is, Lilly's been great on the cancer front. They've been investing a lot in on that side, but
yes.
Certainly the pill will be the kind of the thing that certainly would set it off.
And I think their increase in market share versus Novo Nordisk has been pretty
well. They laid people
big.
Off. That was the other
They're
story this week.
They're laying people off over
yeah,
there.
So.
Crazy. All right, now the rumor last week was RFK was going to link. Autism, one of the links, taking Tylenol or acetaminophen during pregnancy. And Kenview is a company spun off by Lilly, several years ago. Kenview tanked on that news. And then, RFK came along and said, oh, wait a minute, let's wait till the report is out. But Kenview is readying its defense. If Tylenol is cited in RFK Jr.'s autism report, and I've been watching Kenview trade, I mean, that would be a real black eye, especially for Johnson & Johnson. And sometimes you have to wonder if that's not why they spun Kenview off back in 2023. That's when it was. It was 2023. Just 2 years ago that Johnson & Johnson spun them off. And Kenview got hammered last week. It's been climbing a little bit since, but we'll have to see whether or not they've traced a link to taking Tylenol acetaminophen, which is a pretty common drug. I mean, it's over the counter. Most people, I'm sure, take Tylenol at some time or another. And whether or not that is going, Wall Street Journal was reporting that was going to be in the Kennedy report. So another interesting stock to watch. Robinhood is coming up with a new social media site.
That's going to be interesting.
That'll be interesting. Kind of like Seeking Alpha, I would say.
Like Reddit. Right? Yeah, it's almost like, to me, it was almost like matching Reddit with stock trading, which, that's what kind of drove, obviously, the GameStop craze and some of those others during the pandemic. So it's almost like, they're blending both of those things together. So.
Well, it seems to me ripe for pump and dump schemes. Touting something on Robinhood and getting it going on social media. I'm not a big fan of social media, and apparently this kid that shot Charlie Kirk was a big time in social media. Which comes with its dangers, and if your kids are totally wrapped up in this social media thing, it's not a good thing. It's just not a good thing. It has its use. It has its pluses, but it has a lot of negatives too. But Robinhood, they continue to grow. They have $304 billion. They're not like the size of Vanguard with a couple trillion, but it did surge from $143 billion a year earlier to $304 billion. So their assets, not under management, they're parked there, continue to grow. Robinhood also has, exposure to the crypto trading. And we'll see how this social media platform. Robinhood's been one of the biggest winners in the market this year. We have cut our position back in Robinhood, but we continue to own it in the ultra growth portfolio, which is having a very, very good year. Rivian is going to recall 24,000 U.S. vehicles over hands-free highway assist software. I'm just not taking my hands off the wheel. We're not there yet. I've tried it a few times, and pretty soon I find I'm veering off into the ditch. Oh, no, you can't do that. You better keep your hands on the wheel. But they've got a software error. Makes it even worse. The EV makers initiated an over-the-air software update to fix the problem. Well, okay, just keep one hand on the wheel and the other. What's the Jim Morrison song? Keep your eyes on the road and your hands upon the wheel. Okay, when we come back, a few smaller stocks out there, a lot of recent IPOs. There's been a raft of IPOs this week. We'll be right back. And welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. I can't help but notice the chart in Tesla over the last few days, Barry. I got to believe that Elon is now back on top in the race for the richest guy. Look at the breakout in Tesla over the last 2 days. I don't really see any new. I haven't seen any news other than September 30th. Away go the $7,500 tax credits. But look at that huge breakout in Tesla the last 2 days. I'm getting text messages from the co-creator of the Best Stocks Now app, Douglas. He's a big owner. He's a big believer in Elon Musk and in Tesla.
Well, you had that, the only real news was the fact that he was going to, had a pay package that was going to be worth, close to $1 trillion or more or something, right?
Yes, I mean, Bernie Sanders was all upset about that, and that he got passed by, for a day or two, Larry Ellison. But anyways, that's a huge move.
Somewhere Ellison's son and the family are looking, there's another piece today. We're going to have a bid to potentially buy Warner Brothers and Discovery and kind of pull together some of the, the old movie, your legacy movie companies together.
I'll tell you, that was one of the worst acquisitions of all time was when Time Warner bought AOL.
Right.
At its peak.
Yeah.
That's called buying high, and I don't know that they ever sold it, if there's any value to it at
selling
all.
Selling low, maybe.
Anymore.
Yeah. Right.
But that was a horrible. And then whoever bought Broadcast.com from the owner of the Dallas Mavericks.
From Cuban. Yeah.
That was another very poor purchase during those heady days in the NASDAQ. Now, the IPO fever is back. We went down and saw the Padres play Miami, and I got a ride to the airport via Uber. But they also contract out to Via. Via was another competitor one time. They still are. They're a competitor.
I haven't seen that. Interesting. Okay.
And Via's going public, and the lady who gave me the ride says, oh, man, she makes minimum wage driving for Via. They had to lower all of their people's how much they paid them, and basically they get paid by the hour. But they own their own fleet of cars, which makes things a little bit different. But I wouldn't be putting any money into Via at $46 per share.
They're giving it a $493 million valuation at that level.
The IPO world has really kind of brightened up. You mentioned it yesterday. I mean, there's been, you know, we've had a lot more deal activity this year, certainly, than we did last year.
A lot of deal activity. Lyft is a $7.6 billion. They have a hard enough time competing against Uber. Let alone Via would be a third down the line competitor. So anyways, God bless them. They're going public today, and that's the American dream, I guess. There's another one going public, Gemini Space Station. And no, it's not an outer space stock. They don't make rocket ships. It's a crypto exchange. And I believe that's the Winklevoss brothers that are behind Gemini, right? Mm-hmm. And then you also had one yesterday, Figure, F-I-G-R. I thought that maybe had something to do with Eli Lilly's weight loss drug, Figure. Get a whole new figure. But no, it's a lending, trading, investing activities, consumer credit, and digital assets. That seems to be a very ripe area for. You just wonder, the whole digital crypto, is that going to all come crowd? Is that the dot-com bubble that will lead the way down at some point in time? It would be a likely candidate. In 2000, it was dot-com companies without earnings. If the digital assets start to fall, which, you know, it's own little universe out there, and it depends on supply and demand. As long as there's demand for the crypto, but what happens when there starts to be a run on the bank, especially in the ones underneath Bitcoin? I see people loading up in Dogecoin, blah blah blah. Anyways, we'll just have to see what happens there. I don't have a good feeling in my stomach. This, to me, looks a lot like the dot-com bubble in the crypto area. Okay, Adobe raises forecasts. That's a pretty good report from Adobe. But Adobe has really lost the momentum. It has not been a good stock performer recently. These companies reach. And then you get just when you thought Oracle was done. They come up with the blockbuster report, probably one of the biggest reports, the EPS earnings reports that they've ever had in their history. And Adobe, it's up $1.14, but Adobe is half of what it used to be. It was a $300 or $400 billion company. Now it's $148 billion. And they did report earnings, and, not a very good reaction. It was a decent report, but not that great of a reaction to it. Restoration Hardware, that was always a favorite of Jim Cramer's. I'm not a fan.
Got hammered during the tariffs. Really bad. Yeah,
really bad. And they are building a store. I haven't been down there lately, but... right there in the center of Charleston, one of those empty warehouse-type buildings is a building of Restoration Hardware with the restaurant on top, which will have a beautiful view of the Charleston Harbor and where the first shot of the Civil War was fired. Anyways, we're out of time. We're leaving for California Monday, and Tuesday we'll be in action, meeting with folks all day Tuesday, all day Wednesday, all day Thursday. 1 hour appointments, 855-611-BEST. I know Tuesday and Wednesday full. I never did get a report on Thursday. It was about 75% full last time I asked. Gin at the workshop Tuesday night, 7 p.m., 855-611-BEST. We're at the Marriott Hotel in Santa Clara. Looks like the weather beautiful out that way, and I'm really looking forward to one of our crew has never been to California before, Barry, so that will be fun, too.
She's going to enjoy it.
And to get a four-week trial to all we have to offer, the app, the live trading, the newsletter that I produce every weekend, GundersonCapital.com, GundersonCapital.com. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Past performance is not indicative of future performance. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Charles Schwab. Schwab is a member of SIPC and FINRA.